I think it's really, in many respects, one of the most, if not the most, phenomenal recognitions I've ever received.
Hello, and welcome to the Purdue Agriculture Economics Podcast. My name is Valerie Kilders. I'm your faculty host for this week, and I'm joined by Colby, our student co-host. Hi, Colby. How are you doing?
Pretty good. It's a little raining today, but it's a good way to enjoy the last Friday before spring break.
I know. Last Friday before spring break. Campus feels like it's emptying out. It might be a result of the rain, but I do think it might have something to do with some students already being off to study abroad and other adventures that they're embarking on for the week. Now, we actually have something exciting. Before we are letting everyone go to spring break, we actually today in our college, and we're very proud as a department to be part of that, have the Distinguished Ag Alumni Award. Now, Colby, have you heard of this award before?
Honestly, I have not, so I'm curious to learn more about it.
So the award is probably older than you are, because it was actually created in 1992, and the point is that the College of Agriculture in April of every year really wants to honor the people that have gotten one or more degrees from this institution and that have really demonstrated what it means to be a Boilermaker and have taken what they've learned here to achieve success in their field. And we're very fortunate this year that we have someone among the recipients. We're even more lucky to have his brother join us as well. Yes. And do you maybe want to explain who we have here today, Colby?
Yes. Today we have the pleasure of sitting down and chatting with Dr. Matthew Holt and his brother, Mark Holt. Dr. Matthew Holt is a Purdue Ag Econ grad for both his bachelor's and master's study, and he is a recent recipient of the 2024 Distinguished Ag Alumni Awards. And he is currently a professor at Virginia Tech and the department head of Agriculture and Applied Economics. So thank you for joining us today. And also we have his brother, Mark Holt, who is the president and CEO of First Farmers Bank and Trust. And he got his doc from Purdue here in Med. So we have two Purdue alumni and hopefully a very fun conversation coming up here. So thank you guys for joining us. Appreciate it. And one thing I would be curious to ask you both about is, could you tell us a little bit maybe about your backgrounds and for you, Dr. Holt, how you found yourself as the department head, and for you, how you found yourself as the president and CEO of First Farmers Bank and Trust?
Well, thank you, Valerie and Colby. It's a pleasure to be here. It's an honor to be here. And you've probably asked the wrong question of the wrong people, because we could spend the next 5 hours talking about how we got here. But as I was explaining at breakfast to some of the other recipients this morning, mine was not a linear path. So my brother and I grew up on a family farm in north central Indiana, Kosciuszko County, near Warsaw, Indiana. And I graduated from high school and was determined to stay home on the farm, much to our mother's displeasure. And of course, several things came together. One thing was my mother had begged me to come down here for the Purdue Winter Short Course, which is something that has been gone for decades. But it was an 8-week thing that they ran in January and February, and you got some exposure to faculty members in the college, and you took kind of condensed versions of classes. They weren't, you know, it was sort of in some sense a, you might almost think of it as an early version of a non-credit certificate program that had become increasingly popular in recent years. And so I did that, and much to my mother's pleasure, her plan worked between her and my father, who made sure that every crappy job on the farm was mine. I decided that I could come to Purdue and work on an associate's degree. And so that's how I started. I came here, spent the first year doing that. I was very interested in ag econ because growing up, one of the things that was clear to us is that our family finances were like a ping pong ball. Some years were really, really good, and we would have a family vacation out in the Rocky Mountains or something like that. And then the next year, things weren't so good, and we would have a family vacation back in the woods, camping out for a while. And so I was interested in agricultural markets, how they worked, started taking some classes that first year, really enjoyed it, had a great experience with faculty here that were wonderful mentors at the time, people that are now, I think, mostly all long gone, Dr. Larry Bull and Dr. Bob Taylor and others. And I decided after that that I could probably hang in there and get a four-year degree. And so after my first year, I switched to the BS program and worked toward completing that. Along the way, I took a class from Dr. Marshall Martin in commodity price analysis, and that was where I had the first introduction to being able to use quantitative statistical methods to analyze economic data. And that really opened up a whole new world for me. And that led me to think about doing a master's degree. And after that, it was one thing and another. After getting my master's degree and working on that, I had a wonderful experience working at the time with Dr. John Brandt. He's now passed away. He hired me at North Carolina State some years later, was my department head there for a number of years. But I went on to University of Missouri, got my PhD. And as I explained at the table this morning, you know, it's almost embarrassing, but I've probably been at half of the land-grant institutions and at least one or two that's not during my academic journey. But for nearly the last 7 years, I found myself serving as department head for the Department of Agricultural and Applied Economics, a sister department at Virginia Tech University. And so I'm going to let my little brother here tell us his story and correct the mistakes I made.
Well, my story's not nearly as entertaining as my brother's, but as he did mention, we were born and raised on a small family farm, row crop livestock in north central Indiana, and through the grace of a land-grant college system, we're able to obtain a college education. Mother, as he said, was very strong-willed. Mother's family valued education. She was a registered nurse. And for somebody who graduates from a small high school, being a woman in the early 50s, that was a pretty highly obtained goal. It's one of the things I really like about society is it's much more, I'm going to say, gender neutral as far as advancement. Being the father of four daughters, that's fairly important to me, okay? Mm-hmm. And I trudged off to Purdue. I always wanted to be a veterinarian, which was a great, probably a compromise, as we had a hardworking agrarian father that was very shrewd and an education-driven mother. In hindsight, maybe the veterinary degree was the thing that pleased everybody in the family, and that's what I wanted to go do. So I joined the School of Agriculture in the fall of 79 and was blessed to get into vet school 2 years later and got a doctorate in 85 out of Purdue. And I always visualized being a veterinarian as predominantly doing farm work and doing some, I'm going to say, small animal or some pet, particularly dog and cats back in those days. It's really diversified out from there, too. And the trajectory or the lifestyle, the farm crisis of the early 80s changed agriculture forever. Other programs came along too. I still stayed with the large animals as long as I could. And eventually it kind of became my hobby and became more in the small animal side. Small animal practice grew. And the veterinarian whose practice I actually bought started it in a little town called Converse, Indiana. It's about 1,000 people. And his practice, he moved into Marion, Indiana, but he was on the board of directors of the bank there. And you can figure out how I became part of a bank.
You hook
those together and been really blessed. We're with a First Farmers Bank and Trust. It is an ag bank by FDIC standards, which is the caveat, and we're the fifth largest ag bank in the United States of America. And the caveat on FDIC means 25% of your loans have to be in ag. And that's a hard thing to accomplish for a lot of people. Really blessed with a ton of Purdue grads. And I'm thinking right now of a few IU and Notre Dame grads are going to scold me if they hear this. But Purdue's been very good for our institution that way, too.
Well, it does sound like your mother definitely was very successful in her pushing and prodding. I mean, you two are a testament to that. Since you've both been here and you kind of stayed for each 6 years here, can you maybe tell us a little bit about how your time specifically helped you prepare you for your individual journeys, but even tell us a bit about your favorite memories that you might have had during your time here?
Yeah, you know, I'm at the late point in my life where I think and look back now on my time here at Purdue, and I think my brother alluded to this, but it was nothing short of transformative. This was the single most important life-changing thing that ever happened to me, having the opportunity to come here and have the kind of mentoring I had, have the kind of education that I had. and it's something that I've carried with me throughout my life. It's, I mentioned earlier on the class I took from Marshall Martin. I wound up having an academic career that was very much focused on sort of the econometric technical side of what we do in agricultural and applied economics, and enjoyed a great deal of success in many respects doing that. But as I told the folks at breakfast this morning, that's kind of at this point in my life and in my rear view mirror, I've become nothing if not an academic administrator. But the reason I really embrace that opportunity is to try to help create a stage by which others that may have come from backgrounds not dissimilar from what we came from can have similar kinds of opportunities and experiences. And I'll just say a little bit about this. My side gig, in addition to being a department head, for the last year and a half, I've worked closely with senior administrators at Virginia Tech, most notably Dr. Tim Sands, who has deep Purdue ties as well, to co-lead his presidential priority on access and affordability. And it's now branded as Virginia Tech Advantage, but it's designed entirely to help students who come from underserved backgrounds, Pell-eligible students, we were both Pell students, not only bridge the financial gap that oftentimes exists for these students, that's a big piece of this, huge piece, but also the experiential gap. Because what we've learned, and this was certainly my case, never did an internship. Internship, what's that? I'm going to go down here and work for Childress Farm Supply this summer and build grain bins and deliver farm, you know, grain handling equipment to farms and things like that. And it didn't hurt me, but you know, we've learned that doing those sorts of outside the classroom kinds of experiences are things that many of these students don't have the opportunity to do. And so we're really focused on elevating our game, if you will, at Virginia Tech in a very big way. And what's motivated me entirely is my own experience, going all the way back to kind of lost, naive kid in many ways who had the chance to come to Purdue and receive a quality education, but not just a quality education, be able to interact with faculty that took an interest in me and sort of saw something in me before I even knew it existed. Favorite memories and traditions? Oh gosh, there's so many. Going to Purdue football games was something we always loved doing, and certainly basketball games as well. And I would share this, it's maybe not a tradition so much, but I think my brother and I have both found this to be true over the years. As we face turning points in our life, you know, perhaps looking for a new career trajectory or something of this sort, I will physically come back to this campus oftentimes and just walk around, because it's a point of connection for me that started everything. The last thing, and I'm going to say one more thing here, and it's not connected to memories or traditions, but thinking about how we transform lives. And it's part of what we do at a land-grant institution like Purdue when we're really doing our best work. And I think my brother would say this too, but I'll let him speak for himself in a minute. When I was able to get the education I got here and then build off of that education, it not only transformed my life, it transformed my children's lives and everybody that will come after that. It's put our whole family on a new trajectory that probably would have never otherwise been realized. And that's what happens when we're actually living our land grant mission.
Awesome.
Well, I'm going to jump on what he was just going to say, then I'll go back to maybe memories at Purdue, but because I probably botched that when you asked how I became a member of the bank. I think a land-grant college teaches you the value of learning, the value of knowledge. And I guess I would challenge everybody in this room or anybody listening, if you ever stop learning, think about what you're really doing at that point in time. You're now at this point limiting some of your potential. Why would we want to live a life that we limit potential to? So, and I really do feel that the land-grant college system that we were in helped with that. And I got to go back. You wanted favorite memories, or what did you want just exactly? You got to help me refresh that.
You can tell us about your favorite memories, favorite traditions, whatever. When you think back, what comes to mind?
My brother is more musically inclined. I was much more sports fanatic minded. So, yes, the football and basketball games were big. I was here right when Gene Cady started. In fact, he kicked me out of a practice one time when I was just watching. I didn't know you couldn't do that, okay? And we had really good football teams when we started with Mark Herman, Bart Burrell, Keena Turner. That group was very good. So it was good memories that way. Probably the friendship and camaraderie. I mean, my college friends are some of my closest still today. You know, you got to remember back when you graduated from high school, you didn't have text messages, emails. We literally, there were 10 guys in four rooms in the end of Tarkington Hall, and there was one phone for those 10 guys. So you now went and found new friends. You yeah. networked in a different way.
Yeah.
But, you know, some of those memories, sledding on the old cafeteria trays down Slater Hill,
yeah. where
that was pretty good.
Yeah.
Probably my own personal memory, because pre-vet was pretty rugged for a person coming out of a small high school. And yeah. and it was, you know, our chemistry class, I don't know why I remember numbers, but I do, started with 511. And by the end of the second semester, there were 202, and not all those passed. So it was, and that was the key course your freshman year. And I remember going up to the top of the math building, because you can take the elevators up to the seventh floor, but you can take another story on up. And I was kind of, I probably hadn't done well. I don't remember why I was up there. And I was like, I don't think I can do this. And I walked clear up to that top floor and walked to the north end. And you can look out a window, and you're looking right into the back of the horseshoe of Ross Aid. All of a sudden, I realized this is not as big as I thought, because, you know, when you go from a high school graduating class of 125 mm-hmm. to being in electrical engineering, what was that room, 129 with 600 people? Mm-hmm. It's like, this is massive, you know?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, it put it into perspective that you take each course, each one step at a time. It's mm-hmm. it's not you have to take everything all at once. It's you learn this today, you learn that tomorrow, you go on to the next thing. And it's able to break it down and categorize it, and I think that helped quite a bit. And like I say, the friendships you developed at Purdue, I could call a bunch of people up tomorrow and it'd be just like we had. And mm-hmm. you know, you look in the mirror, you realize a lot of decades have gone by, but it would be just like you were getting ready to go do something again back in the old
yeah.
days. So.
That's really wonderful to hear, because as I say here as a senior, I think about like some of the traditions you guys have talked about and your friendships and everything, and it hits home, because kind of going through the final phases of that and getting ready to step into what's next. So it's cool to know that those things stay for a while. I think that's very beautiful, and I appreciate you guys sharing your insight on that. And we're getting a little Purdue talk here, which is wonderful. I would like, though, to turn the table here a little bit to Dr. Matt Holt. And it seems like today's already been a really good day of reflection for you. And as you're reflecting maybe on everything you've been through and where you find yourself right now today, what does winning an award like the Distinguished Ag Alumni Award mean to you at this point in your life?
Yeah, good question, Colby. And I think it's really, in many respects, one of the most, if not the most, phenomenal recognitions I've ever received. And maybe it's just probably is the point I am in my life and my own journey. You know, I've been fortunate. I've received a number of awards from our professional association for my research. Some years ago, I was named a fellow of our Agricultural and Applied Economics Association. And certainly those were important things and things that I'm very proud of. But I have the sense that this award is more reflective of perhaps the totality of one's career and contributions. And for that alone, I think this is got to be one of the most important honors I've ever received, and something I'll be very proud of, frankly, for the rest of my life. Our mother is still living, but unfortunately is not mentally capable of sort of processing much information anymore, and that saddens me to some extent, but because I know she would be so proud to see this have happened.
That's truly beautiful, and really, I mean, you're coming full circle with that, kind of seeing she kind of put you both on this path. And then now, I mean, you're coming back here as like one of our Distinguished Ag Alumni. That's, I mean, truly beautiful to hear. It's great to see. It's a great testament to yourself, but also it's good to see how Purdue can shape someone's life in that form. Now, a little bit about, you've done a lot of looking back, and part of this award is also that they really want to give it to someone where they see the potential to achieve more goals in the future. Now, putting you both on the spot here, do you have any big goals or big objectives that you're trying to achieve in the next coming years that you might want to share? with our listeners?
Sure. You know, that's an interesting question, and I looked at that and thought about it, and you get to my age, and you're, most of my cohort and colleagues are more thinking about retirement and where they're going to be playing golf every winter and so forth and so on. And honestly, I'm not ready for that. There's several reasons. One is I really don't know what I would do in retirement. And two is I still have two sons. I got one that is in college now, and the next one will be going to college in the fall. And so I still have to pay for college as a practical matter. But honestly, what I'm thinking about now and have been looking at, and we'll see how this works out, but I'm still very much interested in additional opportunities for academic leadership and administration. I'm looking at a couple of these kinds of opportunities, and you know, if there's something that aligns with my skills and my abilities that will allow me to have some bigger impact potentially, then I'll really take a serious look at moving that direction. So no, I'm not done. Of course, you get to a certain point, you don't know exactly what will await you down the road, and if there will be more opportunities, but I'm optimistic. And I think the important thing here is to keep your eye on why you want to do these things.
I guess goals, short, I'm going to start with short-term goals. Don't forget that April 8th is the NCAA men's championship game. Mm-hmm. It'll also be the largest Indiana solar eclipse in 896 years. So I think that's God's sign that the stars and the moons have aligned for us.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I will be in Phoenix that day, and I will not see the eclipse is what I'm hoping.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I was actually in my dorm room the last time we were at the Final Four, and it was only over here at Indianapolis, and being where we were from, or we didn't really have the resources, and I thought, I'm going to go to the next one. So I've gotten a hotel room for quite some many years, and this one's going to come true.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, you and me both. And I actually have a text I memorialized earlier this week that I actually predicted at 4:45 on March 17th last year that we'd get beat in the first game because we were out of gas, we were young, and how we won the Big Ten tournament is an amazing feat last year because we were very young. Very in our backcourt was really beaten down. This year's team just seems different to me. So, boiler up.
Yep.
But long-term goals. Honestly, I hope that I leave whatever I'm with better than it was when we took it over. When I took it over is not the right word, but probably I want to leave the life better. I've got four daughters. We want to leave things for them. I work at a great institution at the bank now. Been really blessed by God to have two wonderful careers, and I think my brother said it. I think we get enjoyment out of work, building things, making things better. I'm not sure what acronym you want to put on that. I can't look at us. We're not really athletes. I can't really see us going and golfing or anything like that for the rest of our career, getting much enjoyment out of that. So I don't know if I might even swing back into the veterinary side full time for. And full-time might not be like when I was 40, but when I'm 70, I want to continue on with the bank and grow it into something to where when we have the natural succession plan kick in, that can go on that way too. So that's career-wise, and I think we all have family goals that we want to try to contribute and do our part the best we can, depending on what that part is.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think that's a beautiful way to live your life because it's a good way of knowing, you know, do what you can while you can, right? And, you know, I think that's a really beautiful thing. And to be conscious of your guys' time, because I know you have a wonderful day in store. And I'm really excited. You guys seem very, very excited to be here. And I think that's awesome. And what a beautiful thing that you get to enjoy together as brothers. I think that's really awesome. And so as maybe here a quick closing couple words of advice that you would give to those either freshly in their careers, middle of their careers, end of their careers. Let's just keep the word life advice. Maybe some things that you would throw out there for people to keep on their mind. I think this podcast has had sprinkles of lots of wonderful little tidbits of things that we could all be thinking of to be better human beings. But is there a few things you would really maybe like to mention that you could maybe be some things that helped you guide your way and some things that you would like to just share with others about maybe ways of going about this existence, you know?
Well, you know, I probably don't have any advice worth following here, but I think I would double down on what my brother said earlier, and that is one of the beauties of getting an education is understanding that it's the beginning, it's not the end. it's the beginning of a journey of learning, of discovery, of learning more about yourself, of learning about how you fit into the world and the contribution you can potentially make. And so I think the advice I would have is view yourself as a lifelong learner. Stay connected to resources that will help you understand how the world is evolving and changing, because we need those people desperately now. We need people who are engaged, who understand the complexities of the world that we live in, because that's the only way that we're going to be able to maintain the standard of living that we enjoy. Challenges along the way, they're always going to come up, and you're always going to face things that are going to hit you that you don't expect or you're not looking for. And I think one of the things that I discovered was getting a college education helps you understand that you can do hard things. Getting a college degree is not supposed to be easy. They don't just print these and give them away out on the street corner. You're supposed to work for it, and you have to master some difficult and challenging things. And I think that getting a good education like you get at Purdue helps prepare you for dealing with those unexpected challenges when they do come up. And it makes you understand that you have the resilience to overcome whatever obstacle may be in your road.
Thank you.
I don't even know if I need to say anything after that, because that was pretty good. But you put microphones in front of the Holt brothers, you screwed up. We'll still try to say something. But I was going to reiterate back, never quit learning. Mm-hmm. Don't let the day-to-day drudgery, and drudgery is not the word I want to use, but you can get caught up in day-to-day life and not look at your long-term goals, look for your long-term opportunities. Yes, do a great job of what you're doing, but always look to the future. And as he said, you're going to move towards those goals or those objectives. You will fall down. You will fail. You pick yourself up. You move forward again. And I really, it was during WW2, but I think Churchill's quote's the one I'd kind of like to leave with, that success is not final. Failure is not fatal. It's the courage to carry on that counts. And that's what I'll say to everybody in their life. And the tools that you learned at Purdue and on through life, use those to continue to improve yourself and your family's well-being.
Wow. From both of you, amazing advice. Some powerful words there. I really appreciate you taking the time, sharing your journey with us, sharing your memories of Purdue, and giving us amazing advice. I know our listeners are going to appreciate this. And well, I hope you have a great rest of your day at Purdue. Hopefully the rain will let up a little bit so you get to actually enjoy it. Maybe you stick around till Sunday so you can see Purdue hopefully beat Wisconsin. And yeah, well, thank you for coming on.
Thank you. Thank you both.